identity has brought me to you.
What?
Oh, what I meant to say was...
Wait a minute, don't I know you from somewhere?
Yes, yes, I'm George, George McFly. I'm your density. I mean, your destiny.
Back to the Future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Friday night, everybody. It is March 15th, the 15th day of the fourth year of Marchie McFly. And you may be saying to yourself, Michael, you're talking about a cartoon. You haven't talked about the movies at all. Yesterday, you talked about a video game. So why, at the beginning of this episode, is there a clip of George McFly from the original Back to the Future? And it's because today is March 15th. If you don't know, that's a red letter day in the almost history of the McFly family. March 15th, 1973. That is the day that George McFly, in a timeline that he does not remember, that is the day that he was killed, shot by that bastard Biff Tannen. Thankfully, Marty figured out how to save his dad and did just that by traveling back to 1955, reliving the first movie, stealing back the almanac that he accidentally left in old Biff's hand in 2015, and then 2015, Biff brought it back to 1955 to give it to young Biff, therefore changing the history forever, giving us a 1985 that had Sammy Hagar playing music, Biff being rich, and Lorraine getting, you know, enhanced, you could say. But that's not what today's about. Today is, of course, about the animated series, but I could not resist bringing up this day. I didn't bring it up, I don't think, during Back to the Future 2, during Marty McFly 2. But here's the funny thing. So I was like, I saw a tweet today, and I said, oh my, that's right, today is March 15th. Today's the day. And so I sent a picture of that to my brother. I said, oh, it's a big day today. And I wrote down, I need to write a eulogy. So I had this idea that I would get some church organ music and get up and like pretend I'm in a church, and then I'm eulogizing a fictitious character that, or maybe with quote unquote in the eulogy, he was a real character, but he was alive. The whole idea was I knew about the other timeline and I want to eulogize that 50 years ago, he was killed. He was shot in the back. Because that's what Tannins do. They shoot in the back. Well, did they shoot George in the back? I don't know if that was ever established. I know Buford shot Emmett in the back. But that was my whole idea, to do like a skit. And I thought, you know, it's good. I haven't really done a skit yet this year. And then, like, I was thinking, you know, but didn't I do something with a church organ last year? Let me see if I could find something. And lo and behold, I found an audio clip saved in my Google Drive called Marty McChurch. Maybe it was Marchy McChurch. Ladies and gentlemen, not only did I do a church, like speaking in front of a church with an organ in the background, a little skit, a little, you know, a little bit last year, I did exactly the thing that I planned on doing today. And when I say plan on doing, I mean I have an audio clip from YouTube that is an hour long clip of church organ. Not that I was going to go that far, my goodness, but just so that I had the so I had it long enough that I could just kind of come up with something and just go with it and talk sometimes. And I'm sure it would be rambling and it would go on and on and on. But before I hit record, I said, "Wait a second. Wait 1 minute." And of course, I looked and I already repeated myself. So thankfully, I went back in time and saved myself from duplicating and doing the exact same thing. Not that anybody would notice except me, but I just thought that was fairly funny. Folks, it's late. It is 11 o'clock already, so I'm going to get this in and done under the wire. Just under the wire, so that it, you know, it meets the regulatory like standards that I need, that I set for myself, and I make sure that I don't break any rules. The reason is, I actually, you know, every so often I have a life and I go and do things. And tonight, my wife and I took our niece and nephew to see a school play at my wife's school. It just so happens also that my cousin's daughter was in the play, so that was fun. I got to see my uncle and aunt. Haven't seen them in a while. So we had it was a very nice night, a lot of fun. And my niece is in her own school play at her school, so it was fun for her to see another school doing something and, you know, maybe take notes or think, oh, that's how they do it, or we should do this or do that, or I wish they did it this way like we do, or, you know, it was just, I think it was fun for her to kind of see other kids doing it too, other kids enjoying doing live theater. But nobody, no one, my cousin, her daughter, her husband wasn't there. He's going, because I guess they're doing two shows tomorrow, so he's going to those. My aunt, my uncle, my aunt, my godmother. Nobody, not one person said, "Hey, how's Marchy McFly doing?" And, you know, it made me think, you know, they have terrible taste in podcasting, right? Right? So you'd think, oh, Michael, it's already 11. Shouldn't you hurry up and just get to it? And you're like, you know what, Michael? Michael's right. Okay, Michael? Yes, Michael. Remember what I said the other day about, ooh, is this cartoon hitting its stride and getting better? Yeah, forget all that. So, today, I watched Season 1, Episode 12 of Back to the Future, the animated series, entitled Retired. It originally aired December 7th, 1991, which makes me think, again, why did they not put the Christmas episode in December? I don't know. This episode apparently was also adapted into a comic book for Back to the Future 4. Not the name of the comic isn't Back to the Future 4. It's number 4, issue number 4 for Back to the Future comic from Harvey Comics, which, when did that come out? It doesn't even, there's no gear on that? Come on, I am Futurepedia. You can do better than that. I've been using Futurepedia a lot for the episodes, which has been great. So this episode has four writers, and I'm not including the live action stuff at the end, because it seems like Peyton Reed always does that. No. This episode that I just watched has four writers, and I'm saying to myself, how is that possible? Well, how did it take four people to write this? Did one of them get credit because they went in and added all the periods and the commas afterwards? Like, oh, we forgot to spell check. Okay, you get a writing credit. Like, it just baffles my mind, because I said we had the episode where they go back in time and see Doc become like a child star. Before that, we had the episode where it's Christmas, right? Those are the last two episodes. And again, I'm not saying they're great cartoons, but for this cartoon, they were fairly entertaining, and they had some neat little conceits in them as far as time travel and stuff is concerned. And they were just fun. And then we get to today's episode. They actually turned this one into a comic? I mean, here's the thing. I keep having to remind myself, this show is not really made for Back to the Future fans. It just isn't. It's a show that uses the Back to the Future premise, like very usefully uses the Back to Future Back to the Future premise, and then just made a Saturday morning cartoon for kids. And then I'm thinking, were the cartoons that I watched as a kid, were they as dumb as these were? And I don't think they were. But this one, and I'm not trying to insult it, but it just feels very kiddie. Again, it's a cartoon. Who am I kidding? I'm looking at it from a weird lens, but I can't help myself. So before we get to the animated part, of course, as usual, it opens up with live action. And it's Christopher Lloyd trying to tell us something, but he doesn't remember what it is. He's like, I don't remember. I'm forgetful. My brain. He goes, wait a second. This reminds me of something that happened once. It all started with April Fool's pranks from the kids. And then we start off on the farm. It is April Fool's Day, April 1st. I'm going to say 1992, because that's when this aired. And this episode almost, it barely uses time travel at all. The story has nothing to do with time travel. It just annoys me. It annoys me so much. So it's April 1st, and Jules and Vern, they have this exciting plan to cause a ruckus, I guess, have all kinds of pranks for their parents. Oh, and I didn't mention this. As I said, this was four people took to write this episode. And it's funny. It's Peyton Reed and Mark Cohen and John Ludden and John Lloyd. There's two ampersands and an and. So to me, Cohen and Ludden are a team. John Lloyd is there, and Peyton Reed is like, this is my epitome of show business. I've made it. I'm writing an actual episode of the Back to the Future cartoon. Where else is there for me to go? And again, might I remind you, he is the writer and director of the Ant-Man movies, or at least the director. I think he wrote them too. But here he is making a cartoon about, well, I'll show you what it's about. So as I said, it's prank time in Brownsville. So in the Brown farm. So Doc comes in And it looks like the kids put salt in his coffee. He wants to use his automatic joggers because that's how he exercises. He puts on these jogging pants. And the kids, it's like their pranks are backfiring. So the first thing is they like pour coffee on stuff to prank them. Basically, they're just destroying his inventions, and they think that's fun. So this thing is on the fritz, this automatic jogger. He runs around the house. But he's like, wow, what a wonderful exercise, and they fit so great. And he's like, oh. They're like, oh, you didn't care for that? And then Clara comes in because she's covered in brown goo from the shower. Thankfully, it was chocolate. And I didn't know it was chocolate until Doc came up and took a smudge of it off with his finger and licked it. And again, I'm assuming it's chocolate because he liked it. But I guess the kids had chocolate come out of the shower. And she was like, this is really helping my skin. So now that one's backfiring as well. And then he's like, well, you know what? Let's take this apple. Vern is taking an apple with a worm in it. You know, I feel like I have seen an apple with a worm in it once and I freaked out. And I just ate an apple before when I was recording this, but there was no worm in it, thankfully. So he's like, I'm going to bring this to Vice Principal Strickland, leave it on his desk. And they also poured soda or something on his, you know, the thing it's basically the thing he wore in Back to the Future when Marty opened the door, the thing you put on the head. They put some sort of soda on that. And now Clara says, thank you for inventing this thing with the shower. He goes, I don't think I did that. Let me plug in my brain, you know, boobity boobity. I don't remember what the hell the name is. Brain analyzer and scan to see if I did that. So he scans it. Meanwhile, Marty comes in and he says, Doc, you got to make my, you said you're going to help me, you know, with special effects for my big concert, the biggest concert ever. And Marty says, Doc says, the biggest concert ever? That's Woodstock. He goes, well, the biggest concert in Hill Valley. So I was hoping, oh God, he's going to go back to Woodstock. Great idea. No, that doesn't happen. So Marty goes, there's a big concert happening. He shows the flyer. Concert, 5 p.m. Friday at the courthouse steps. The name of the band, Marty McFly and the Pinheads. What? The name of the band is the Pinheads. When did it become Marty McFly and? Like, he had to talk all these guys into being in the band with him as the head? I mean, okay, and it's the cartoon, but if I was the rest of the Pinheads, I would be, you know, slightly upset. So Doug's like, I guess I'm going to do that. He goes, that'll be nice. And then when he puts the brain scanner on, because it's on the fritz, it goes crazy, and it shows him that he has used 99.9% of his brain, leaving him with 0.01, 99.99 of his brain, showing him that he only has 0.1 brain usage left. He's like, oh my God, I can't think anymore. I can't do anything. You know, this is my brain. So for some reason, now Doc thinks that he only has so much thought left in his brain. And once that thought is gone, all his thoughts will be gone and he'll no longer be able to think anymore. That, my friends, is the conceit, is the story that you're about to hear. That is it. That's the gist of it. And all because of April Fool's jokes. And I might have said it was April 1st, 1992, but it's definitely 1991. This is still 91 when the show aired, this episode aired. But that's what's going to happen. He's like, I can't think anymore. He starts panicking. If I think, you know, like he could lose his mind. So he's no longer going to think, which guess what? He's already thinking like he would have to be the dumbest scientist ever. He's like, I'm giving up science completely because there's too much thought, brain thought. So I guess he doesn't have to not think, but he's like, I'm never going to use science again. Oh my God. This makes me so angry because it's just, it's silly. So, the kids also rewired Doc's weather machine. Yes, a weather machine. Marty sees it with fog, lightning, and thunder. He goes, ooh, this will be great for my concert. So he takes the weather machine, not realizing that it was rewired. Meanwhile, Doc tells Clara, I need to give up science. I can't think. Don't ask me to make decisions. I can't think about eggs, nothing. He's watching TV, and he's watching thoughtless TV. Was that supposed to be The Shining? No, I don't think so. And he's basically being thoughtless, too. So she like gets real angry at him. And he's like, well, I know what I have to do. I have to leave my family now. So Doc abandons his wife and children. He leaves a note that says, in this state of mind or lack thereof, I feel I am a burden to you and the boys. Goodbye, Clara. Obtusely yours, Emmett. Even that would take up too much thought. Oh, this episode was so annoying. And he wrote all over the dog because he ran out of chalk. So he wrote on the dog. Again, that's dog abuse, but fine. So now he's walking around town like, what am I going to do? And he almost like literally it's like from the 1920s, a safe by two movers almost gets dropped on him. He almost gets hit by a truck and he falls in front of an employment office. He goes, that's it. I'll get a job. So meanwhile, Clara and Marty go to the police station because literally they say Doc Brown ran away from home because he's not doing science. Ha ha ha. They don't believe that Doc Brown wouldn't do science anymore, but Clara and Marty went to the police station because Clara's husband, you know, didn't quote unquote step out on him, but left because he thought he was too dumb. That is not a police matter. That is a court matter. You should divorce this man. He abandoned his family, his children. And the cops laugh them out of the police station as they should. They should be fined. They walk by this restaurant that's the Lua Lunch Hut. And inside, there's only like four or five people there, but they're all sleeping as there's a man behind the piano supposed to be entertaining them. It's Doc Brown. Now, to me, I think that takes a lot of brain power to be able to play the piano, but he gets fired from that. So he keeps going through jobs. He wants to be a gardener. Meanwhile, now Clara is walking around town with a sandwich board, you know, like those signs, like the end is near, a sandwich board saying, have you seen me? Looking for this man. He gets a job as a gardener. 5 seconds later, he has a tractor and he's driving a tractor in front of a mansion. He doesn't know how to use it, so he accidentally chops a car in half. He almost kills a boy in a swimming pool. He almost kills a dog. He does shave part of the dog. He breaks the fence. He's immediately fired from, he drives into traffic. Like, I think his brain's already gone and he should be put in a home, but that's just me. Remember Dr. Brown institutionalized when he was like in the straitjacket in Back to the Future 2? I feel like we've hit this moment. Now Marty is so Doc grabs his head like, now Marty is passing out signs and sticking them all over town saying, have you seen this scientist with that same pose? I don't know how they got that picture, but he almost hits a blue-haired Elvis guy. And now we see Doc is circled. These are all want ads he'd circled. Now he's going to be a parking attendant. He takes a car in front of, he does valet parking for a hotel. Again, I believe this is all on the same day. He ruins the car. Okay, he drives the car away, and I don't think he actually leaves. So this woman goes, he drives the car away, crashes it, brings it back, immediately brings it back, gives her keys back. She faints. Again, he should be, you know, arrested for this, or at least, you know, fined. Now, Einstein is wearing a jetpack flying through the air. Yes, you heard me right. The dog is wearing a jetpack flying through the air, skywriting, Emmett, come home. Emmett doesn't see this because he's now working at Tony's Pizza. The kid in there is like, he didn't sound like the nerd. He's like, hey, dude. He sounded like he was going to say cowabunga, you know, surfs up. And he took his Walkman. He goes, I'm taking a lunch break. So he leaves. Doc needs to make a pizza. There's a real pushy customer who asks for all kinds of special stuff. When the guy comes back, there's no pizza, but there's sauce and cheese everywhere. So he gets fired from that. Now, Clara and Marty go to confront Jules and Vern at the school. They need to talk to them about their father. If I heard that, the first thing I thought was, oh my God, dad's dead. But no. They just want to tell him that he's not acting right. And they think, oh, I think we know why. And he explains that it's because of what the prank they did. But Doc finally says, you know what? I need to be someplace where there is no science and no thinking involved. So he travels. He does time travel back to caveman times. But he's with the caveman and he's teaching them fire. So did Doc discover fire for the caveman? But they didn't seem to care. Then he takes a rock and he accidentally carves a perfect wheel. So did Doc invent the wheel too? Again, not quite clear, but he's like, oh, I have to go someplace where there's no thinking at all. Then he looks in his pockets and sees a ticket to a rock concert. He's like, oh, that should be brainless enough. So, okay, at least the ticket just says the Pinheads in concert, not Marty McFly and the Pinheads. I like that. Maybe on the poster, Marty put Marty McFly and the Pinheads, and the rest of the band is like, what? That's not the name of the band. So he now travels to the rock concert. Marty's there, Clara's there, the kids are there. For some reason, they're all there instead of looking for Doc. Marty's still doing the concert. Clara's like, you think this is a good idea? He's like, absolutely, Doc will show up. He promised me he'd be here, and he's never broken a promise. And I'm thinking, he hasn't? I feel like I should go back and look at the show. So the kids go, and they talk about, you know, well, if we find him, we can use the brainwave thing because I brought it here and I fixed it and I know what to do. So they go outside and sit down, and Marty's like, you better get a seat, you know, before it's too late. But there's nobody there. Nobody gives a crap about the Pinheads. There's like two people and someone lying under a few newspapers, like a homeless person, except it's Doc. Why is he there? I don't know. He sees the kids. He sees Clara. He runs away really quickly, but he hits a tree. He needs to escape them because he can't be near them for some reason, because he's afraid that he'll hurt them by being, when he becomes dumb. But they're like, you don't understand. We screwed with your machine. He's like, I don't believe you. And literally they go, we can prove it. So they go to get the machine. While they go and get the machine, the concert is about to start. Marty puts on the weather machine, but he hits the wrong thing. Or maybe the guy puts the weather machine on. I don't know. But a giant, this friggin' episode, a giant thunderstorm comes. Doc still doesn't realize he has brain power yet. He still doesn't believe it. The weather machine can literally control the weather. It's not a fog machine or a lighting machine where it shoots out a little lighting. No, it controls the actual weather of the world around you. So within 30 seconds, thunder, lightning. Marty is struck by lightning. Doc is struck by lightning. Both of them should be killed instantly. The band almost blows away. Now there's flooding, literally flooding in downtown Hill Valley. Water, you know, deeper than over their heads, blowing hail, everything. And they're like, you need to. Meanwhile, even while that's going on, a man is trying to still sell a woman shoes in the water. Marty almost blows away. They're like, Doc, you need to turn the machine off. I don't think I have the brain power. Like, I bet you do. At one point, Clara's in a tornado. I mean, I was just angrily watching this episode going, they gave me some clever things the last couple of times, and this is just annoying and dumb. So he finally says, you know what? Let's test my brain power. I need a mattress. I need a few things. For some reason, he's making a boat. 2 seconds later, they drive the mattress boat over to the weather machine. He is able to turn it off by, I don't know, something he has in his hands. I have no idea what it is. It turns off. The water disappears. Everything's fine. Boom. Back to normal. But you know what? Doc Brown, his whole family should be fined, should be cited. They should pay for all the damages. But instead, they just head back to the farm and they have a little coffee. And Emmett's like, I love coffee with extra salt, because that's the last prank that the kids did on April friggin' Fools. We jump back. That's the end of this dumb episode. We now jump to Doc, actual Christopher Lloyd, and he starts talking about clouds. That's the big science thing. It's like, you know, video file C for cloud formation. Then we get friggin' Bill Nye, the science guy, talking about cloud formations, water droplets, water vapor, cold air, dust particles, clouds. That's how you make a cloud. And they said, let's demonstrate. They have an invisible tube that they suck some air out of, but there's no cloud because there's nothing for the molecules to latch onto. So then he lights a match. And once again, they go, kids, don't use matches at home. So don't try this experiment. Puts the match into the tube, then uses the vacuum. And they're like, look, it's a cloud. And I'm thinking, isn't it just smoke from the friggin' match you just lit, Dr. Bill Nye, science guy? And that's the end of the episode. There's a little thunder and lightning, and Doc's like, see you in the future. And the end, the music that's playing is If I Only Had a Brain, because that played a little bit during the show too. Big come down from the last two episodes. Definitely big come down from Daredevil Brown. And no tannins. Not one tannin in this episode, because We didn't. I mean, there's a Biff joke at the end, but I didn't even watch that, to be honest with you. But no significant time travel, no tannins, and four people wrote this episode. This is it's shocking to me, but I guess in Marty McFly, you gotta learn never to be shocked. So listen, I'm done. I need to get this up. I have 33 minutes to get this up and complete and in your ears. So I'm not going to talk anymore except to say you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. Fans Not Experts on YouTube. Fans Not Experts on Facebook. FansNotExperts.com is the website. That's it. I'm done. Happy Friday. See you tomorrow. And until then, here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.